Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time's a game.
Yeah, they like him. I mean, you know, they would have moved on from him if they didn't. I mean, they had an opportunity to do it in the offseason. They like Nick Mullins, and I don't know that I'd say he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo right now or he gives him a better chance to win. I would listen to that argument, but I would think that going into this game against the Bills, that Kyle Shanahan is really going to focus in on how he can limit the exposure of Nick Mullins against this right. Bills defense and try and attack the Bills' weakness, which is that run defense.
100%. That's exactly what I think the 49ers will do. And we saw, like, when they ran against the Patriots earlier this year, you know, that was one eye-opening. Like, wow, like, it was about, like, the Patriots defense. It looked slow. But, you know, that's a good running attack that they have. They're a very good offense when they get running. And I'll tell you, like, one of my big keys this week will be just don't let that running game get going. I think the Bills just have to really try to force this 49ers team to be one-dimensional and force Nick Mullins to have to beat them. If they can really be balanced, if they can have their running game going, and they have good runners, as you know, with Mostert on the field now again. You know, thank goodness George Kittle's probably not going to play, right? It just doesn't appear that way. I know some people are speculating, well, possibly surprised he could play this week. He's been saying sooner rather than later. It just doesn't look like that. You know, but they're going to get Brandon Ayuk back most likely from his COVID, being on the COVID list. They're going to have Debo Samuel, by the way, who's great in the yards after catch. Like, he likes to run people over, and he's very physical. But I also think part of the thing here is, let's remember, the Bills' secondary is good, guys. I mean, they have good players in the secondary. It's Tre'Davious White, as we know, another big interception last week. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and I think Levi Wallace has actually played pretty well as of late when he's been out there. So it's not just about, you know, concentrating on stopping the run. I think it's, we have pretty good guys. We're confident in the secondary. So let's make sure that we're buttoned up on everything in the front seven.
Our coverage will begin Monday at 4 o'clock as the kickoff coming up at 8:15, I believe, in Arizona, the 49ers and the Bills. Sal Capaccio, our guest. As far as the other side of the ball, Sal, we haven't even asked anything about the offensive line. That was kind of the main topic last week with Mitch Morse. Now we know when Morse is back at center. Coming off that game over the Chargers, though, boy, Joey Bosa, I mean, yeah, Joey Bosa had a highlight reel game, no doubt about it. So heading into this game against San Francisco, where do things stand with this Bills offensive line?
Well, I would expect the same line as last week, but you never know. I mean, Sean McDermott's, you know, done some different things here. But now that Mitch Morse has started again at center, John Feliciano played at left guard. They ran the ball for over 170 yards, guys. That was a big deal. And I also know that, you know, they really concentrated on that in the bye week. They wanted to get that running game back to where they think it should be. And they also don't have John Brown. They're going to have to lean on the running game a little more. John Brown out of the lineup is a big deal for this passing game. It just seems like they struggle to really move the ball in the passing game. And they can be efficient. Josh was 75% last week, but he only threw for 150-something yards. They're checking things down. They can't stretch to the field. So you got to rely on that run game. Got to be a little bit more powerful, be a little bit more, you know, mean and nasty. And I think John Feliciano brings that. And, you know, Brian Winters starting at right guard. I think that's something people have talked a lot about, but I think he's played pretty well as of late, especially, you know, last week and what they were able to do. All five linemen last week played every single snap. You know, the Bills – That's good. If you're going to think about continuity and chemistry, you know, they didn't have guys in and out of the lineup. There weren't injuries. The guys had to leave for a play or two even. This, to me, looks like maybe something they want to do going forward with that line. Obviously, losing Cody Ford hurts your depth, but I don't think Cody Ford had been playing like one of their best five offensive linemen anyway. Yes, it does hurt their depth. You'd love to see him healthy. You'd love to see him out there as one of your best starting five, but I don't think right now it's a terrible drop-off to the play on the field without having it.
Sal, it remains a concern when you watch this team in the third or fourth quarter of any game, and it just feels like they're not the same team as they were in the first half. And you mentioned the run game and getting it going. I'm concerned that Singletary put the ball on the ground again. I'm concerned about backfoot Josh showing up when he gets a little bit of heat late in games. You know, What do you think can be done? Is there anything that could be done? Because I know that with both of these instances, it's just guys that have a competitive gene. There's a wiring inside that's hard to coach out of Josh Allen and say, you can't make that throw, you can't make that play, when everything in his body and his fiber and his being is saying, yes, I can, watch me. I mean, is there any, is that just something we're going to have to become accustomed to, Devin Singletary and a potential fumble here and there and Josh making that back foot throw that he shouldn't be making?
I would say yes on the Josh part. I think that, guys, my prediction, I've said this for a while, I think we're going to be sitting here at maybe 10 years from now saying the same thing about Josh Allen. Oh, my God, why did he throw that ball? You know what I mean?
Right.
Brett Favre, it happened to him. Brett Favre, throughout his whole career until the very last minute of his career, which he was making incredible plays, and then you'd be like, but why the heck did he throw that ball? I think we're going to see that. And I'll tell you, though, I think it's been fewer from Josh this year, and what you want to see is just you don't have as many of them as his career goes on. And I think that's been good. But yeah, you're going to have to live with that once in a while because that is the way he's wired. And honestly, wouldn't you rather have him wired that way than wired like, no offense, like Trent Edwards, where I don't ever want to make a mistake, you know? Or even Tyrod Taylor would just seem like he never wanted to make a mistake. You know, he did a lot of good things, but I'd rather have my quarterback. I'm going to live with mistakes because I know that he's going to make plays because he's willing to make mistakes sometimes. And I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy for a quarterback to me. I don't think you should have to live with the Devin Singletary thing. Now, he actually, I don't even know what the stats are this year. I think that might have been his first fumble this year. I know it was his first fumble loss, though. But yes, he has put the ball on the ground. We saw it in a camp a couple times. What concerns me is, even when he's tackled, the ball does come out a couple times. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he gets tackled, he's down, and then the ball comes out, and they're like, no, that's not a fumble because he's been down. I've seen that happen a couple times as well. So that just speaks to ball security for me. And he's got to be better at holding on to the ball. And if he's not going to be better at holding on to the ball, then Zach Moss needs to play. So no one should just say, oh, it's a fumble, and that's what we're going to have to live with. They're professional running backs. They should not be fumbling. And I'm willing to excuse one once in a while. It does happen. I mean, but when it starts to become a trend, and again, it's not just the fumbles. It's when the ball, when he gets tackled out of bounds, when he gets tackled and a ball pops free, I notice things like that and say, that's not good. You got to make sure you have the ball at all times.
Zach Capaccio, our guest. Now here's a first in the sports bar. NFL update, the Ravens go 3-and-out, so the Steelers taking over in the first. So here's a fun fact. The first Wednesday game in NFL history, it was November 11th, 1925. New York Giants, 13.
I saw it. Was that you that tweeted about that?
Yes, the Rochester Jeffersons. Listen, anytime we can get Rochester on a major league level, I'm going to take advantage.
Rochester never had a pro football team, Gene. That's a myth.
They did.
There was no internet back there. There was nothing there to hold you accountable. It's all made up. It's all fabricated, please.
Hey, you better count Rochester because we're going to count Tonawanda here, too. Tonawanda had a professional football game.
I don't know. Who are you believing? You believing the old guy that snapped the photo? They could have mocked that up. That's not real.
We touched the football danger. We saw the red jersey.
All right.
Sal, the question, what do you make of what has transpired here between the Ravens and the Steelers the last week?
Well, there's so much there, guys. I mean, we could do our shows on this, but what I think, though, is that it's clear and obvious that the league is really, really, really bent on making sure they get this season in 17 weeks. They want to do whatever possible to not have an 18th week. They'll have one if it really comes down to that, but that's like that tiebreaker thing going down to a coin toss, right? Like all the way down the list. You're not going to do it. This league is going to do whatever it can to make sure they get all of their games played within 17 weeks of the season. I think that's clear. Otherwise, this game should have been moved to week 18. That's why early in the season they were using up bye weeks for teams. They can't do that anymore, so that's what they're trying to do. The other thing I'll tell you is I am not on the same page as a lot of people who basically want to blame the Ravens or blame the Titans. And I know the Titans broke some protocols. I just mean by getting COVID and spreading or having an outbreak or things like that. And this is the world we live in. This is what's happening. Be careful. Jeremy says this on our air all the time. Jeremy Ward, our morning show host. Like, don't be careful. Don't throw the stone because it could be you next. And that's right. It seems like there's people who want to say, oh, I can't believe this team. They need to forfeit. And then next week, it's their team who's dealing with it. You got to be careful with that stuff. I just don't think it's anybody's fault,
We dealt with it here. I mean, we had a week, an unplanned week off because, you know, of proximity. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you have to be careful. And it is a scary time. It is a scary thing. And I agree with you 100%. There's nothing in the NFL that they want to do more than get through this season and get through the postseason without having to cancel and limit the movement of these games because, you know, and give them credit. I mean, I don't know if I should be impressed or terrified. I think I'm a little bit of both with how they've been able to pull it off.
Yeah, I agree. And then today, Commissioner Goodell basically said there's not going to be a bubble. They're not looking at that. They believe that their protocols they put in place have worked. And I think people could look at a game being played on a Wednesday and say, how can you say they've worked? But I also think you could look and say, yeah, they actually have. Like, sure, teams have lost players, and we're sitting here, but guess what? We've gotten every game in so far, haven't we? And I know a team had to play without a quarterback, essentially, which was ridiculous. But yeah, I think that he could say that. By the way, I'll give you another update. As you know, Steelers also 3-and-out. So we've gone a couple 3-and-outs here.
I mean, we are watching football with Sal Capaccio. How much better is this, Danger? This is great.
Sal, appreciate your time as always, man. Enjoy the game on Monday, and we'll look forward to talking again soon. Stay safe.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thanks.
Yeah, Sal Capaccio. You can hear him on radio.com, sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo, of course, and on Bills game day broadcast. Roaming the sidelines.
Yeah, and as he said, the Steelers didn't do much with their possession, so both teams trading out. So we'll just kind of keep you updated as we go along there. Or are we going to... We're going to turn this into like a fantasy channel. What was that throw by Roethlisberger? Right. Come on. Right. He had Johnson open. There.
Right. How about this? How about we get to some takes next in the sports bar? I'll drink to that. Takes on tap.
Takes. And I have takes. Something that I just want to see in Buffalo for the rest of it. If we can't go to the game, there's something I want to see out there. And Tyrod Taylor did something I think is very interesting. He's catching a lot of heat for this, and I'm going to defend him today. I think he made the right move here.
You see, Matthew just shot me a tweet back. If Miley Cyrus wasn't such a scallywag, Wrecking Ball would be considered better than Since You've Been Gone. P.S. Oh. Having a take on Kelly Clarkson automatically relegates you to light beer only. Matthew?
Yes.
Matthew, I don't know if you've seen Kelly. There's nothing light about the take that I gave for Since You've Been Gone.
Not acceptable.
The take?
Not acceptable.
Is heavy.
Danger.
It's a heavy take.
Not acceptable.
Since You've Been Gone, best pop song in the last 30 years. Give her her own damn show. She has a beautiful home. She's still living there in Nashville. Appreciate that, Matthew. I have a take for Mets fans from my friend Eric in Brighton, who shot me a voicemail.
Is this going to upset me?
Yeah, I warned you earlier. You should just mentally prepare yourself. And my non-sports take today, my annual reminder. We have the first snowfall of the day, and I hate that I have to do this, but I've got to remind you again. This is something you have to do. I'm going to kill somebody one of these times. In the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I'll drink that is on the way next in the sports bar.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.